The New Testament reading is written in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, to be found on page 1210 in the Church Bible. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Let's pray. Father, I pray that my words would be a blessing and that you would take them and speak to each one of them through the words. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Ros, for the invitation to come today. It's nice to be back in a cool, wet, green country, because we've come from a country, Rwanda. Although it's the land of 1,000 hills, there's a lot of dust and dirt and dry brown grass at the present, because we've had many weeks of dry season. So it's nice to be back here, except I'm getting a cold. I work in Kigali, the capital city of Rwanda, which is pretty much Central Africa. I am with African Inland Mission, as most of you know, but I'm partnering at present with New Creation Ministries, which is an organization led by World Venture and American Mission. And they are into pastors' training and Christian leadership, children's work, and I am responsible for various English programs there, teaching pastors and involved in their bachelor's leadership program, doing academic writing and academic grammar there. And also I offer English classes to those who want to improve their English, because a few years back the country changed from being Anglophone as its official language from Francophone to Anglophone. So everybody is needing to improve their English, especially that middle category, post-school, and those who want promotion in their jobs. So English is very important. And one day a man came by the school. He had heard of New Creation Ministries and the English program that we offer. He was a businessman, and between his halting English and my halting Kinyarwanda, I think I understood that he wanted to learn English, to study. In fact, he must learn English because of his job. He travels to Uganda and Kenya, which are Anglophone countries, as you know, and even up to Dubai. And so he needed English to improve his English to help him with his business. He was an older man, so he was of the generation who did primary school in Kinyarwanda, and if he did secondary school, it would have been in French at that point. So we discussed the possible opportunities that could fit into my schedule, what level he was, and when he was free in that, and then I waited for him to appear. Did he come? No. Was I annoyed? Yes. Because he was not the first person who had come with such a tale. I must learn English. It's important. It's necessary. You spend a lot of time communicating, phone, email, even going over to the road to meet with this other guy. And they don't materialize. They don't come to class. And you think, do you or do you not want to learn English as desperately as you say you do? Anyway, it made me think of the cameo of the young man who came to ask Jesus how to inherit eternal life. In Mark's account, it's very graphic, very vivid. So you have Jesus, he started on his way, and then a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Silence. He went away sad. And you can imagine Jesus saying, well, do you or do you not want this as much as you tell me? But despite all those impediments to learning English and the no-shows, Some do come to class, and some make good progress in their English. But I'm not just a language teacher, I'm also a language learner. Now, it's pretty easy when you learn a new language to start with the greetings and the simple phrases to interject at the right moment in the conversation. But continuing is the problem. Improving, perfecting that new language. That takes a lot of motivation to be self-disciplined, consistent, and persevering. It takes effort. Now, as far as I remember, learning French at high school was pretty painless. I guess it was because it was structured, it was regular, and you got a lot of input from teachers, and it continued for some time. Although when I finished learning French at school, I remember I wasn't too keen to speak, as most of us in England aren't, and it was only when I met an American MAF pilot in Zaire, and I heard his terrible accent, that I thought, well, if he's not afraid to speak French with that accent, then I'm away with mine. And then Swahili was my first African language. It was kind of exotic to be learning an African language, and pretty necessary because not many people in the area spoke English at that point in Zaire. Some of the secondary school teachers would speak French. So if you wanted to buy some food, if you wanted to communicate with your workers in your house, you needed some Swahili. And being on a mission station, it was pretty much set up that I would learn Swahili with an older missionary, a more experienced missionary. So there was the support again. And then later on, I moved north in Zaire, and the trade language was Lingala. So I had to start again with another language because I was doing school inspections in primary schools where they were teaching in Lingala, so I needed to know what the kids were saying, what the teachers were teaching. And there was new spice to this way because I was doing the LAMP method, learning language acquisition made practical. I was directing my learning, working with a local person in we were doing in French, but it was a new method. It was more exciting. Hey, this is something new. And then a few years back, I crossed the border to Rwanda. And there, some people have Swahili because they've had experience of living in Congo. And then the older generation have French. And then the incomers who had been raised in Uganda had English. So, you know, I could communicate. What was the point of learning another language? I could get by. So you get lazy. And you're older. Ndimu checheru. I'm an old lady, as I say to the motorbike taxi drivers. And it's harder than Swahili. The consonants are much more complicated. I can't hear the language as well as I could Swahili. And it's a known fact that if you're older, it's harder to learn a foreign language. So it's easy to give up. I started well. I worked with a young lady in the same way as directing my language learning, and I got quite a bit of language for different situations. And then I worked with a university student to do conversation. And then I even went to Kinyarwanda classes that was run by, they were run by the French Cultural Center, taught by a Rwandan but being taught in English. But it's easy to give up. It's easy to quit. You start with all these good intentions, but you become weary with language learning. And it seems from reading the letters to the Christians in the New Testament, and from my own experience of many years of being a Christian, that we need motivation to continue in our spiritual journey. It's pretty easy to start. It's exciting. It's new. But to continue over the years is demanding. And I think when we read Galatians 6, 9, it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And then the passage in the New Testament which encourages us in our spiritual journey was that which Janet read to us about throwing off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, to go with perseverance in our race, in our journey, in our walk with the Lord as we continue. So perhaps we can apply experience of language learning to our discipleship, our walk, our pilgrimage, our spiritual pilgrimage as we go on with the Lord. Motivation. Why am I doing this? What is our motivation? In language learning, it's for communication, it's for establishing relationships, and it's also so you're not going to look an idiot, a cultural idiot, so you kind of can fit in with the people. What is our motivation as we continue in the Christian life? Is it as Jesus had, who for the joy set before him? Is it because of his relationship with his Father? Is it our motivation to keep us moving in our spiritual journey so we don't quit, we don't give up? Also in language learning, it's important to have accountability. You need someone who will ask you how you're doing, what you're actually doing to make it work, to achieve success. And I think in our Christian life, we need to be people and we need to have people who will be bold and risk asking the hard questions one of another, taking the initiative with kindly intentions, saying, how are you doing in your Christian life? What about your prayer life? What about your Bible reading? What about your discipleship? How are you going? I don't think this is very English, actually, to be so in your face. It's probably from my American colleagues that I think of this. But maybe we need someone to whom we're accountable, and we need to be willing to take responsibility for the spiritual journey of other people in our community. And then there's mentoring. You need someone who you can go to who can explain all these weird and wonderful things of the logic of this new language that don't make sense to you. So everything is different in a new language. You need a safe place to go to where you won't be judged or laughed at. When you're learning language, your ego is very fragile. Your self-concept is very fragile because now you're incompetent. You can't communicate. You can't buy bananas even at market without them laughing at you. So we need a safe place, safe people we can go to where we can ask the hard questions, where we can say, you know, it all used to make sense to me when I was young. It was all black and white, but I don't know. Some of these things I read now are quite difficult to understand, and I have a few doubts, and I'm struggling in this. And what about prayer? How does it work? Everything used to be so clear, but now it's harder. It's more difficult. It seems that I'm expected to make more effort than when I was first a Christian and everything was wonderful and sparkling. And then we need encouragement and sympathy. We need to be able to go to someone who's more experienced, who's really very competent in speaking the language and saying, this is difficult. I'm not making any progress. And they'll say, yes, I know, I've been there, but it's worth it. Keep going. And our model of sympathy and encouragement is, of course, Jesus, because earlier on in Hebrews, we read that we have a great high priest who is not unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. And he's been tempted, he's been there in everything, yet without sin. So let's approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. It's great we can tell Jesus everything that's going on and how it's hard work these days. But I think we also need the human touch, the here and now of fellow learners, fellow disciples on the pilgrimage. Just as in language learning, the spiritual journey must not be a solo experience, we need people to walk with us in our journey. By implication, we can walk with other people in their spiritual journey, and we want and we need people to walk with us. We need each other as we continue in our journey, our spiritual journey. And others need us. There are many one anothering verses in the New Testament, in the letters. They're telling us to build each other up, serve one another, carry each other's burdens, be kind to one another, teach and admonish one another. And there may be the strongest verse, which suggests being proactive and purposeful in our one anothering, in our concern for other people in their walk with the Lord and their continuing discipleship, is in Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us consider. That speaks of thinking it through, being purposeful, being proactive, not to meddle, not to be nosy, but to be disponible, to be available, to be concerned about others, to be aware of them, and to ask how things are going. And we need people to do that to us as well. Taking the responsibility for other people's development, spiritual development, asking searching questions, setting an example. Now, in AIM, we have a program of beginning of term and end of term reviews where we meet with our team leader and we have a battery of questions about our ministry goals and our ministry achievements and our spiritual life and what things we've been learning and what things we've been doing to develop and maintain our spiritual health. I don't think that kind of thing actually happens or it exists in the normal church life, but that's part of what we do. But I think more than just having that review, filling in a piece of paper and talking over once, it's good to have a model. And we have a model in AIM. His name is Ian Campbell. He's our deputy executive officer. And whenever Ian comes, he always comes with his questions. And they're kindly meant, but they're very perceptive and they're very searching questions. How are you doing in your spiritual life? All these questions. And because of his modeling, we also adopt those questions and we ask them of one another. So his modeling of that being concerned, of taking responsibility, filters through to us so that we also think about being proactive and asking questions one of another. So maybe today we can learn from the needs and the difficulties of learning language to the needs and the difficulties of going on in our Christian life to the end and to perfect our life, our Christian life. So let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Amen.